Mr. Bright and the Morning Star. We thank you for singing that song. But as I said, I have to be obedient. That song was put on my heart this morning. And I just wanted to thank you for doing that. First, giving honor to God, who's ahead of my life. And I want to thank my pastor for allowing me this opportunity once again to stand before you. But most of all, I thank my God and my Father for doing what he has done and what he's doing. I thank him for each and every one of you that are here. Because if it was not for him, where would we be this morning? Most gracious Father, we come once again this afternoon. We want to say, first of all, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for all that you have done. Lord, I thank you for the many, many blessings that you have bestowed upon me. Heavenly Father, you didn't have to do that. And I know we oftentimes we say that you didn't have to do it. But you know you didn't have to do it, but you did. And you did it because of the love that you have for each of us. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for all that you've done and doing. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen us. Lead God and let your Holy Spirit direct us in the ways that you would have us to go. Heavenly Father, we know that when we step out of bounds, you use that shepherd's cane, reach out and you grab us back. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Continue to reach out and continue to grab us and let us know when we are doing wrong. Even though we know that we're doing wrong, we still need you. You said you were going to chasten us. Heavenly Father, and I believe and trust in your word, and you will do exactly what you say you would do. Lord, these and all blessings I ask you in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' name, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. As I said, first giving honor to God once again. And see, my wife tells me I repeat myself a lot, but that's okay. Because as we said before, there's things going on in each of our lives, and you may not know what it is. You may not know why we can thank God 20, 50 times. It doesn't matter, but give God the thanks for everything in your life. And one more thing, God is an awesome God. I thought I had this sermon all wrapped up and together, but I found out what Pastor Baggin meant by he would come around, he would change it at the last moment. I had a beautiful introduction, so I thought, but God gave me something else, and he said, no, you go this way. He took out that introduction that I had. So I have to do it, as I said, being obedient to his word, the way that he gave it to me. And I'm going to start out with my introduction is going to cover, going to like paraphrase Matthew's chapter 14, verses 1 through 22. As remember, I said it's going to paraphrase it. So I'm going to have to, you're going to have to follow me here. And when we start out in that chapter of Matthew, we should know the story. We start out with Herod. He had Peter, John the Baptist. He had him beheaded. And he had him beheaded because of a promise that he had made to his brother and his brother's wife. And so he kept that promise and had him beheaded, even though he was afraid to. And in the meantime, after he had him beheaded, the disciples of Jesus, They came and they got the body, and they went and they buried it. And when they buried him, they went and told Jesus about it. And so Jesus, after they told him about it, he went to a desert place, as he always do, to pray. But when the crowd heard about it, they got on foot and they followed him out of all of the cities to follow him to where he was going. And so Jesus, and he was so moved by the multitude that would be following him. He just healed all of their sick. And he healed the sick, and so evening had came. And so the disciples, they came to Jesus and they said, evening has come in. Send the people out to the villages so they can buy their food because we have nothing. And Jesus said, why send them out? Feed them. The disciples said, all we have is two fish and five loaves of bread. Jesus said to them, bring me the fish and the loaves. He took those loaves and those fish. He looked towards heaven and he prayed and he blessed it. He broke it and he gave it to the disciples to give to the people. He had them to set in groups of 50. He took the bread and the disciples dispersed it between them. And the number of men that was fed that day was 5,000. The number of children was unknown. After everybody had eaten, they were all filled and full. The disciples had to go and pick up all the fragments of food that was left. And there was 12 full baskets. But remember, they started out with two fish and five loaves of bread. Ain't God all right? God is a wonderful God. And you can go and look at Mark 6 and 45. And it says, after they had eaten, and straightway he constrained his disciple to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bathsheba, Bethsaida. While he sent them away, the people sent them away because he wanted to get along with God in retirement from the world and pray and meditate as he always did. He sent the disciples ahead without himself because he wanted to pray. And see, prayer is what he did on a daily basis. Prayer was where he received the Holy Spirit. Prayer is by continuing prayer, he that received this fresh anointing on a daily basis. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And the next thing you know, here comes a storm. Now, when you are serving God and trying to be obedient to his will, there will always a storm will come in your life. I'm not talking about the physical storms that are common in nature, but the storms of trials and of tribulations. There may be somebody here this afternoon that's going through a storm. I don't know whether your storm is financial. It could be family. It could be a friend. It could be your job or it could be your school. But somehow we are all going through some type of storm. But God, no matter, and remember he said in his word, it will rain on the just as well as the unjust. Anyone who tells you that Christianity is a easy street, they just don't understand, or maybe they have not read the word of God. Because if you look at 2 Timothy 3 and 12, it tells you, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we got to suffer. And to me, sometimes suffering can mean several things. It could be long lasting, or it can be actual suffering for in other problems and in sickness. But we got to suffer because who are we? Christ did. He suffered for all of us. The disciples was in the storm because of their obedience to Christ. Now, don't get me wrong, because going through these storms is not because we are believers in Christ, but we're going to go through storms. Whatever storm you go through, God is there to fix it for you. But you have to be willing and to ask him and give it to him and leave it alone. You remember Jonah, don't you? There are two types of storm. There's a storm of correction, and there's a storm of perfection. Now, Jonah had to go through the storm of correction. But on this occasion where the disciples, they were going through the storm of not correction, but perfection, because they were doing what Christ had commanded them to do. The storm of correction is when we are disobedient to God, when we deliberately go against God's will, when we are deliberately rebellious against the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. While going through the storm, you must recognize God in that storm. When Jesus commands the storm commanded the sailors or the disciples to go to the other side. Now you see that it was not a big deal to them, because this is something they did on a daily basis. They were fishermen, so it didn't bother them. But this time, there was a huge storm that blew in, and bigger than what they had ever seen before. And Matthew tells us that the boat was buffered, meaning that the waves continually hit the boat vigorously. And it was so violent that the only thing the disciple could do was to keep the boat upright. I can imagine in my mind that at that time, the disciples weren't concerned about going to the other side. I can imagine that they were concerned about staying alive. It is about this time that Jesus decided to come towards them. And when the disciples saw him, they were convinced that he was a spirit. And so they were terrified and cried out in fear. And see, Matthew wants us to know that sometimes it takes the eyes of faith to recognize when Jesus is around. Often during our own lives, we are tormented by waves of disappointment and doubt. It was about the fourth watch. And a lot of people talk about, they said the fourth watch. That's the time that we're living in now. So keep that in mind. But we're not going to go there right now. But it was about the fourth watch. When Jesus went out to meet them walking on the water, he was about to pass them by. And it is those defining moments when God reveals himself on earth. You remember, if you look at Exodus 33 and 22, when God put Moses in the cleft of a rock so that Moses could see God as his glory passed by. And if you look at 1 Kings 19, verses 11 through 12, God told Elijah to stand on the mountain, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now you see, in each of these cases, God had to get their attention through burning a bush and through the wind, also through the fire and walking on the water. In each situation, the person that God called felt fear. And I know that I can speak for myself. I remember when God called me into the ministry. I was afraid and I ran for so long. But you get to a point to where God is going to get you back in. That's why when I say he used that shepherd staff. And he bring you back. And he bring you back to your senses. And you would give in and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Now, when Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water to pass them by, he wasn't doing just some little sweet magic trick. He was revealing his divine power and presence. The storm had done exactly what it was supposed to do. It had gotten the attention of all the people there, of all the disciples. There was only 12. So I don't mean all the people, but somehow God is trying to get your attention. I don't know how, but you do. But somehow you're like I was, I believe. You're running or you're afraid, but you got to get out of the boat and you got to get in on the, you got to face that storm. Even though there's going to be problems around you, you can't look at the situation. You got to keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. He wanted them, just as he wants us, to be able to trust him. And you see, that's what we must do in all of our storms and all of our situations, no matter what they are, no matter how severe they are. Yeah, but he wants you to keep your eyes focused on him, because there's nothing too hard for God. And all you have to do is say, Lord, save me. Just like Peter did. He said, Lord, save me. And all of a sudden, Jesus reached down and he picked him up out of the water. He would do the same for you, just as he will for me. All you have to do is call on him and believe and trust in his word. Let me move on. Now you see, the 12 disciples that sat in the boat, I don't know how the other 11 responded to the voice of God, but I do know one thing from reading the scripture, that Peter responded and he got out of the boat. He walked on the water, even if it was just for a little while, but he got out of the boat. And you see, if you want to follow God and do what he asks you to do, you got to get out of the boat. You can't sit there in the boat and just because you think the boat is safe. My God, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. But Peter did respond because, as I said, he got out of the boat. He realized that this was an extraordinary opportunity for spiritual adventure and growth. You put yourself in Peter's place. Jesus is inviting you to go on an adventure of your life. But at the same time, you're scared half to death because of the storm. It's time to make a choice now. You either stay in the boat or you get out of the boat. The boat is thought to be safe. The boat is thought to be secure. And the boat is thought to be comfortable. On the other hand, we know that the water is rough. We know that the waves are high and the wind is strong. And if you get out of the boat, whatever your boat happens to be, you know one thing, God is right there to pick you up. But if you don't get out of the boat, there's a guaranteed, a certainty that you will never walk on the water. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. What's your boat? I don't know, but you do. Your boat is whatever represents safety. Your boat is whatever represents security to you apart from God himself. Your boat is whatever you are tempted to put your trust in, especially when life gets a little stormy. Your boat is whatever keeps you so comfortable that you don't want to leave or give it up. If it's keeping you from joining Jesus on the waves, your boat is whatever pulls you away from the high adventure of extreme discipleship. So, well, what do you mean? If you're depending and you're staying in the boat, you can't put your full focus on what God wants you to do, because you got to step out of the boat. We were talking about it this morning. You got to be obedient to the word of God. If you're going to be obedient, you got to step out on faith. You got to step out and believe and trust in God that he will do what he said he would do. You got to believe that he would do what he said he would do. And I want to tell you, if you want to find out what your boat is, you got to ask yourself this question. What is the most produced fear in me, especially when I think of leaving it behind and stepping out on faith? You might not know, but if your fear will tell you what your boat is. All you got to do is ask yourself those questions. It may be the hardest thing that you ever do in your life. Yes. You see, we don't want to give up the world. Some of us want to hang on to the world. We want to keep one foot there and one in the church. But church, you can't do that and be a child of God. Let me move on here. You see, Peter saw the wind and he realized that he was on the water in the middle of a storm without a boat underneath of him. The storm shouldn't have been a surprise. Just like today, we know that storms are out there because the world itself is a very stormy place. We need to know that trouble is going to be there, but we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. We can't look at the surroundings. We shouldn't look at the surroundings because the surroundings are going to be there. But there's one thing that I guarantee you. If you give your trust to Jesus, if you trust in him, you give him your situation and you leave it alone, he will pick you up. He will turn you around. He will place your feet on a solid ground. My God is good. I know he is. I know he is. Because he reached way down and he saved me. He picked me up and he turned me around. Good God Almighty. People, come on. Get on board. I know the season that we're in, but that's all right. Be about Jesus and not about the presents you may get. They are not important. The best present is Jesus Christ, who died for you and who died for me. Do you understand what I mean? We're now talking about Jesus. You see, they stretched him wide and they hung him high and they nailed him to the cross. And when that cross hit the earth, there was an earthquake. And that earthquake was to save me. It was to save you. But Jesus, he did not come down from that cross. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. And he died. He died. He died. He died. He died for you. And he died for me. But somebody, they had said that Peter failed in his walking on the water. He may have failed to our viewpoint. But one thing he did, he got out of the boat and he walked on the water just for a little while. But the biggest failure, I believe, was the 11 that sat in the boat. Where are you this day? Are you sitting in the boat with your life jacket on, with your seatbelt on? Or are you sitting in the boat with one leg out of the boat and one leg on the water? Or are you standing outside of the boat looking at the storm? Or are you standing outside of the water on the boat looking Jesus in the eye? You see, that's where Peter wanted to be, and that was with Jesus. And that's why we, as his believers, should want to be where Jesus is. We sing a song that I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. But do you really trust in the Lord? Or do you trust in what he can do for you?
Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes focused on him. He will not let you down. He won't let you down. Jesus, oh, Jesus. When Sister Parker was saying, Jesus, I love to call on his name. Call him Jesus. Jesus, here I am. Use me, good God Almighty. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Yes, I do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church. Join in with me. Praise God for all that he's done. Remember where he has brought you from. Don't be like those other disciples. Be like Peter. At least get out of the boat one time. And I guarantee you, if you get out this one time, the next time you'll get out. And the next time it'll be a little easier to get out again. But if you don't listen to the voice, you want to stay in the boat, I can guarantee you that you will never walk on the water. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. Praise God, y'all. Come on, Jesus. You said in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Come on. Good God Almighty. Save this church. Keep your arms of protection around it. Lord, have mercy on us today. He's given us another chance because he woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. He enabled you to come out here today. And he said, praise him. Look at what he's done already for you. And all he wants is us to praise him and give him all the glory. It's not our cars. It's not our homes that brought us this way. Yes, sir. But a lot of us put our trust in material things. We forget and we take our eyes off of Jesus. He is the reason for this season. He's the reason we're here. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Good God Almighty. He changed my walk. He changed my talk. He changed my lifestyle. And I guarantee you, if you put your trust in him, good God Almighty, he will change you. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. God will change you. All you have to do is ask him. You call on him. You see, when Peter realized he was sinking, he said three words. Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached down. He picked him up. Yes, he did, out of the water. But you know what? He'll do the same for you. He's the same yesterday, today, and always. He's not going to change. Trust in Jesus. Trust in his word. Remember, it wasn't you didn't wake yourself up this morning. Remember, it was God with his grace and his mercy that allowed you to see another day. Because there's so many that wanted to be here maybe, and they couldn't be here. But I remember a time when I'm going to get a little personal. My wife was sick one time. And before that, I want to tell you, she may get upset, but that's all right. She would not come to church. But you know, that's all right. Pastor Bayer keeps saying you bring them to the altar and you leave them there. But that's all right. And then she got sick and she went, I forget what happened, but she couldn't go anywhere. And she kept saying, I want to go to church. But you see, when you don't do what God has ordained you to do, if he has enabled you to go to church, get up and go. Don't sit around and find something else to do. When she finally got up, God gave her another chance. And he will give all of us a second chance. We got to trust him, church. We got to believe in him. I put all my trust in him because he has never failed me. If he said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. God bless you, and may heaven continue to smile upon you. God bless you.